Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Good morning, everybody. Hump day. We've got everything you need to know in the sports world right here this morning on Undisputed. I'm Jen Hale. That is Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, and I am debating which one's going to be the bigger handful today. Shannon after his Lakers lost, or Skip after correctly predicting the Nuggets, and his Spurs winning the Wembanyama sweepstakes.
Not again.
What?
Not again.
Oh, the Spurs?
Not again.
Yeah, y'all some lucky.
Not again.
Y'all some lucky, you know what?
No, I'm talking about you and your guy. Let's get
no,
to
no,
it.
No. Oh.
Let's get to it. Yeah. We gotta get to it.
There ain't no doubt.
Not again.
Jokic left no doubt.
Not again.
He left no doubt. Joel Embiid couldn't see him on his best day.
Oh, stop it. You mean the same Jokic who went 0 for 2 in the fourth quarter, that guy? 0 for 2?
The man had a game at the half.
At three quarters, he went into the Hall of Fame. He went straight in.
He better than that.
Then he left the building.
DeJounte Murray says, and this guy didn't win MVP?
Who?
DeJounte Murray.
Who's DeJounte
Murray? You don't do that, Skip. Don't do that. Don't do that.
What you mean, Jamal? Or
No, DeJounte.
What are you talking about him for? I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't do that. Don't do that. You know how guys tweet during the game. Oh, don't do that, Skip.
I didn't see.
You saw.
I don't see. I don't say on Twitter like you do. I tweet.
Yes.
Oh.
So if you tweet, that means your feed. So only you see is your feed.
Well, I didn't see whatever.
Okay. Just making sure. Come on, Jen. Let's go. I got some good stuff today.
Yeah.
You better.
I'm glad, Shannon, because I have questions. Your Lakers going small with that starting lineup. Worked against
that's
the Warriors.
The biggest question
Nuggets
of the
a lot
night.
Bigger,
yeah.
Though. Yeah, Denver takes game one of the Western Conference Finals last night. Gentlemen, it was a 132-126 affair. Nikola Jokic had his sixth triple-double of the playoffs. 34 points, 21 boards, 14 assists. Anthony Davis led the Lakers in scoring with 40. LeBron dropped 26. Shannon, what's the biggest reason your Lakers lost?
The Nuggets played unbelievable for three quarters. Obviously, the small starting lineup did not help, Skip. It doesn't make any sense to me when you got 7-foot Jokic, you got 6'10 Michael Porter Jr., and you got 6'8 Aaron Gordon. Why would you start three guards when you know this is the best rebounding team in the postseason? Mm. That made no sense to me. But even with that being said, Skip, it was just the way they played for three quarters. I say there's not any team in the playoffs remaining that can beat this team with the way they're playing right now through three quarters. They sort of cooled off. Skip, look, when you fix a plate, you know two people are going to eat. You know you play the Nuggets, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic is going to eat. But you can't let everybody else eat. You can't let KCP eat. You can't let Michael Porter Jr. eat. You can't let Bruce Brown eat. And for three quarters, everybody ate. And seemingly the Lakers were still in the ball game, Skip. They got crushed on the glass. And we know the Nuggets are a great rebounding team. But, Skip, how you get 9 offensive rebounds on your first 11 misses? What you think is going to happen?
Mm.
You've done a great job, but you only do a great job if they miss the shot and you grab the rebound. Mm. If you do a great job, they miss the shot, and you don't get the rebound, you've done nothing.
Yep.
The play doesn't finish until you get the rebound. So give them credit, Skip. They hit some unbelievable shots late in that shot at the end of the third quarter that Nikola Jokic hit, and Jamal Murray hit one in LeBron's face, and LeBron couldn't do nothing but give him a thumbs up, Skip.
Yep.
I mean, what? D-Ham, you saw what he just did?
Mm.
They were hitting unbelievable shot after unbelievable shot, Skip. And I think the Lakers have to be somewhat encouraged,
yeah,
because as great as they played, Skip, we're right there. LeBron had, 40, 50 seconds left in the ball game, Skip. He had walked into a three that could have tied the ball game.
Mm.
So the Lakers saying, as bad as we played, as good as they played, we were still right there in the ball game.
Mm.
They got to play a little better defense. I mean, they shot 55%, but they allowed the Nuggets to shoot 55%. They shot 46% from the three. They allowed the Nuggets to shoot 46% from the three. They got to the foul line. It was just the rebounds. 15-5 offensive rebounds plus 17 on the rebounding scale. But Skip, I think the Lakers should be encouraged, knowing that the Nuggets played as well as they could possibly play for three quarters, and late in that ball game, Skip, we still found a way to be in this ball game. So if I'm Darvin Ham, I'm not going back to that smallest lineup. Skip, I'll probably start Rui. I understand that I'm going to take something away from my bench, Skip, but he is a big body. He can make shots. He can rebound because he was plus. He was one of the few guys that was a plus last night. He and Lonnie Walker, I thought Lonnie Walker played well in the limited minutes that he got. But I love what Rui, I love what the way Rui played. Skip, I understand that Yoke did what he did. Jamal Murray did what he did. But even though they still was right there, a three-point. LeBron walks into a three that could have tied the ball game. Mm. So that's why the Nuggets won, because of the way they still played for the first three quarters. But if I'm the Lakers, I'm still encouraged.
Mm. Okay, you done?
I'm done.
Thank you. My turn. To your points. Your team got annihilated for three quarters. You got embarrassed. You got humiliated. Even in the end, you lost the backboards 47-30.
It was 36-13 at the half.
Well, after three quarters, it was, I think I got through three quarters. I think it was way worse. It was 40-20 after three quarters, 40-20 on the boards. To your point, at one point early on, it was 22-3 in rebounds because of all the offensive rebounds.
That's crazy.
Okay, so I told you I had three big issues yesterday with your team, and I ranked them in order. LeBron shooting too many threes. Their inability to close. And AD, will he show up? And weirdly, he showed up in one way and completely no-showed in another way, because you can't let Jokic out-rebound you 21-10. You just can't do it. If you're that guy, that dude, if you're him, if you are, in many people's eyes, the best player left in the playoffs, you have to rise above a Jokic who's 6'11 to your 6'10. But again, you're more of an athletic, physical force than he is. You cannot allow your team to get out-rebounded 47-30. But I can't fight what he did on the offensive, just on the scoreboard. He scored 40 points. Okay. But you got annihilated mostly on the backboards, and it started early and it sort of stayed fairly consistently until the fourth quarter. Okay. So Jokic has an all-time game through three quarters, and then you stumble into the magic move. You stumble into, wait a second, let's put Hachimura on him straight up, because Hachimura is listed at 6'8", 230. I think he weighs 240-ish. He is a man's man.
He has a solid body.
He has an NBA body, and he knows how to use it.
Yeah.
He is fearless in attacking on offense and on defense. I love his attitude, because he walks on the floor like, I own this. Mm-hmm. I got this. Okay, Darvin, you finally gave me a chance. I'm going to seize it, and I'm going to run with this chance. So they make the switch, and he said after the game that this is a very astute coaching staff, and I'm still a big fan of Darvin Ham's. I know he gets fired every other night. Maybe he got fired last night on Twitter. I didn't look. But the point is, they have high IQ as a staff, and they had schooled Rui going into the series. We might need you to take him head to head.
Right.
If you do so, it allows AD maybe to roam. It allows him to lurk. It allows him to swoop. And you're actually doubling Yoke in a way, because AD's just standing under the basket.
Right.
Okay. To do that, I'm going to get deep into this in a minute. You have to give something up to do that, and it's Aaron Gordon. And Aaron Gordon went 0-for-3 from 3 last night, and in the fourth quarter, he missed 4 free throws. He was only 2-of-6. So you're daring the devil. You're daring Aaron Gordon, who's a 35% three-point shooter. Not a good one, but not a bad one either. But that's what's happening.
Right.
At some point, right now, maybe as we speak, the Denver coaching staff is saying, okay, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Guess what, Joker? You're going to have a wide-open three-point shooter just standing at the three-point line and Aaron Gordon if you want him in this situation, right?
Right.
Okay, so what happens? The switch to Rui, it takes Yoke completely out of the game. I've never seen anything like it before. The guy who is just obliterating you through three quarters, all of a sudden I say, wait a second, he can't score. He can't get a look. He goes 0-for-2 in the fourth quarter, did get to the free throw line, made 3 out of 4, and they ended up being pretty critical down the stretch. Mm-hmm. But still, if you make him go 0 for 2, and just before I get to my point, I'm going to show you the two shots that he missed. This is what it looked like. This is how hard it got for him in the fourth quarter if we could just see his two misses. He just could not score. The guy who was on an all-time pace, he's forcing up shots that short. He's losing his confidence.
That's a shot.
That's just a complete fall away, fade away. I got no chance. He's getting frustrated. Shannon, you had him on the ropes. You had him on the run. You had him. They're up. What's the? They're up 14 with 6:33 left. Up 14, and here you came.
Yeah.
And guess what? Right on time, Austin Reeves caught fire, and they caught cold. That they caught colds. All of them did because they couldn't make a shot. You go on a 14-3 run. Then here we go again. This is my same song, 10,000th verse. Again, I first guessed this because LeBron came in shooting 26% from three in the playoffs. 26%. He did take four. I'm going to give him the fourth one because it was just a desperation at the end of the game. It didn't really count. But let's say he was 0 for 3 for the night. So he's 0 for 2 at this crucial point. And with 45 seconds left, you have him dead to rights. And you don't close on them because LeBron does what I say he shouldn't. And I know you, in your heart of hearts, you know that this is not a good idea.
No, I didn't like the shot.
Okay, it's just not. What are you doing, LeBron? Look, he is terrorizing them. They keep getting the switch on the pick and roll. Jamal cannot go.
Right.
Jamal Murray?
Right.
He's 6'4"-ish. LeBron's 6'9". How many times has LeBron just gone? He just plays bully ball. He can play bully ball with Aaron Gordon sometimes. So just drive it, or Austin Reeves is out of his mind.
Right.
Let's go pick and roll for Austin Reeves. Let's get him a shot.
Right.
I don't know. Just if LeBron will attack, he had just made two free throws. I know he'd missed two in the fourth quarter earlier.
Right.
But just get to the free throw line. There's plenty of time left. If you cut it to one at that point, I think you're going to win the game. That's just me. And LeBron stuns me. He does. It's like, I got some Steph in me. Watch this. No. It's not your forte. It's not what you were born to do. Why would you resort? Why would you say, okay, you say he sort of stepped in, you know, walked into a three. There's just a better shot at 45.
Oh, I agree. I'm not going to debate that.
Okay. So let's, if we could see this is a possession. KCP tries again, and they're going cold. They can't buy one at this point. Here comes LeBron. Jamal's on him. And he says, and he kicked his right foot out trying to maybe get a foul, but he shot it low, hard, and to the right.
Right.
It didn't come off right. Every once in a while, he'll shoot one with authority and you say, okay, I got it. I don't got this one. This is the game right here.
I thought he was going to drive.
Maybe because
Jamal Murray backed off him, he's like, okay, let me pull up and shoot the three. But I thought he could back him down and take a two and make it a one-point game.
He had five fouls. Not that it was going to be the end of the world, but you could have gotten him out of the game.
Well, okay. You get him out of the game and you have to go to overtime. Now it serves you really well.
Now it really serves you well. And I'm not going to crush him for this, but you still have a faint chance when they come back down the next time after Joker had made his two free throws. So it's a 5-point game, and we're down to, what's the time left? 18 seconds left.
Right.
If you can get a quick two here to cut it back to three, you still have a chance maybe to get it to overtime. And LeBron gets the ball in the lane and decides to go between his legs. And I got no trouble with between the legs out on the perimeter, but there's two. It's high traffic. And if you're going to go between your legs, Austin Reeves drives it and kicks it back to LeBron, and he tries to go between his legs, and guess who? Jamal Murray is still in the game, and he snakes it from him. He reaches right in behind LeBron, if you see that, and knocked it right out of his hands to Joker, and that's the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not killing him for that one, but in the fourth quarter, you're still, most people regard you as the best player on the floor. You are the greatest scorer in the history of basketball. You just got to get it home. You had him on the, to quote the late, great Denny Green, we had him and we let him off the hook.
Yeah.
And that's what you did last night.
Right.
It felt like, I kept tweeting this, Lakers got this. Lakers got a great shot. And I think you would have believed in your heart of hearts that you had them. You had them backpedaling. You had them doubting themselves. And Shannon, it was going to be one of the great comebacks because remember,
You're down by just 21.
With 5 minutes left in the third quarter, you're down 21 because guess who had made a three? Jokic just stood at the top of the circle and drained another three in. And he doesn't just make them. He swishes them from the top of the circle. Okay, so you mentioned those two shots. Let's show the two prayer shots. Okay, we could do Jokic first at the end of the third quarter. Okay, look what this is. This is Jokic at the end of the
third quarter. And it's a step back on top of it, Skip.
On AD, and he kind of side saddles it. He has to kind of fling it from the right side, you know, just to get enough on it. And it's a prayer, and he swishes
it.
And
it's answered.
Okay, now he's out of his mind. And now we got Jamal Murray. There's a Jamal Murray, and he gets LeBron on him. And this is at the end of a clock, and he steps back, and it's almost a three. But it's impossible, and he swishes it. Okay, that's after three quarters, you're saying, it's just their night,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And to your team's credit, to your coach's credit.
They didn't hang the head.
You battled your butts off.
You did.
You fought and fought, and I kept saying, this is unbelievable.
Right.
That's what I love about NBA basketball. You know, people used to say, oh, they don't even start playing until the fourth quarter. Yeah, watch a game like this and tell me. Yeah, the Lakers started playing in the fourth quarter, but Denver had played its tails off for three quarters. They gave you the best they had.
Right.
They gave you their best shot and hit you right in the mouth with it again and again and again. And you got back up off the canvas and you said, okay, we took your best shot. And it's almost like Ali and Foreman where he's saying, is that all you got? All you got, Denver? Is that all you got? Because watch this. And if they cash the two when LeBron pulls up to make the three, I just think you're going to, quote unquote, steal game one. You're just going to take it from them.
Yeah.
It would have been psychologically devastating to them if you had won that game.
Oh, it would.
Seriously, it would feel like a sweep could be coming because it would feel like could they even get back off the canvas to figure out how to fight with this.
Yeah. Skip, when you look at it, I mean, let's just take the first half, Skip. Jokic had out-rebounded the entire team. And for the game, he almost out-rebounded this whole team. Skip, this is like Wilt Chamberlain and Russell them back in the days when they grabbing 40 and 50 rebounds.
Agree.
Skip, you don't see stuff like this.
You just don't. No. Nope.
I mean, what, he have 12 rebounds in the first quarter? I thought he's like, okay, realistically, he can get 40. I said, he might even get 40 rebounds. But I said, there's a real good chance he's going to get at least 30.
Yep.
But I that was a really difference in the ball game, Skip. They got down. You got to expend so much energy. I agree with you. I don't think LeBron should have taken that shot. I went for the two. I'd have kept the pressure on them to go ahead and, okay, now you got to execute or you got to go to the free throw line to make both of your free throws to keep you up by two.
Just trust me on this. They don't fear LeBron shooting threes, but they are scared to death of him attacking the basket.
Yes.
They can't. Who can stop him? He's 6'9", 270.
Right.
And he's ambidextrous. He's the greatest driver of the basketball ever, and I think he's still in the game today. Nobody drives it better than LeBron.
Well, here's the thing, Skip. If you're going to play D-Lo, he's going to either have to give you points or you're going to have to play defense because he was a liability last night.
Okay, and guess what happened in the fourth quarter?
He didn't play.
He sat. Played zero.
Right.
Okay, and Dave McMenamin had a great report on ESPN.com about this. He said he talked to multiple sources in the locker room who said they are fearful that if they don't start him in game two, obviously, which is Thursday night, if they don't start him, they will lose him. Okay. I don't really care whether you lose him or not.
Well, I'm going to probably lose him to free agency anyway.
Right.
But I'm going to try to win this series, Skip, because he can't. Everybody that he guards, they're going to attack him.
Okay.
KCP attacked him.
He did.
He can't guard Michael Porter Jr. because he's 6'1", 6'2", and Porter Jr. is 6'10". He can't guard Aaron Gordon because Aaron Gordon's going to back it down. And he damn sure can't stay in front of Jamal Murray. And what hell are you going to do with Yoke? So, Skip, he's really the only guy that he's a matchup because at least Schroeder is a defensive guy. He can't score like D'Lo, but he can play defense. He can get after guys. So he's the one guy, and if you look at it, he was minus 25.
Yep.
Everybody else was at least under eight or less as far as plus minus.
Okay. So D'Lo, since coming to the Lakers, and I loved him as a pickup because he can flat out score
basketball. Yeah. He get going.
He's a natural-born scorer.
Right.
He is smooth and sweet when he gets in his rhythm.
Yeah.
He started 17 regular. I mean, he played 17 regular season games with 17 starts. He's played 13 playoff games with 13 starts. So he hasn't experienced the bench one time. He has been a starter. And remember that interview he did a couple of weeks back? He said, "I am a killer." You're killing the Lakers last night,
right? Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So maybe that's Schroeder is more used to coming off the bench.
Yeah.
So maybe you try that. But back to Jen's point. Okay, so they danced with who brung them. They've been starting the small lineup, the three guards, because it had been working for them.
Skip, it worked against Golden State.
I got it. This is a whole different beast you're up against, and I got it. So I tweeted right away, maybe 3-4 minutes in the game, Darvin, how much longer are you going to stick with your three-guard lineup? And I called him the three bland mice, because they're not blind. They're just bland.
Right.
I don't know. They're not going to work.
Right.
The three won't work. You're going to have to do something else. And then he pushes the Hachimura button. And guess what? I think you pointed out. He made 8 of 11 shots? Are you kidding me? Took 1-3 and made it?
Well, Skipper, the thing was, it wasn't that their lack of shooting. It's just that they didn't guard the other team either. Look at what they shot. Skipper, you shoot 55% from the floor. You shoot 46% from the three. You shoot 89% from the free throw line.
Yep.
But you also allow the other team to shoot 55% from the floor and 47% from the three-point line.
Gosh.
And therein lies the problem right there. And Darvin Ham said, guys, give us a little defense. Because we still, look, AD and Yoke are going to cancel each other out as far as points because neither one can guard the other, straight up. That's just the way it is. And if you want to neutralize AD, you're going to have to come with the double team. And if you want to neutralize Yoke, you got to bring the double team. And I told you, Skip, I say he's the same animal, but he's a different beast than when you got him in the bubble. He's a totally different. I don't know what you thought he was, but everybody knows what he is now, Skip.
Yeah.
So I think the thing is, if I'm Darvin Ham, Skip, I got to put Hotchett. It's the same situation as Andre Iguodala.
Okay.
Skip, we stumbled onto something.
You did?
I got to ride it.
Okay. You stumbled onto the antidote, man. You got it because I'm looking at Yoke's numbers through three quarters. Of course, he finishes with the prayer of three, but he's 31, 19, and 12 through three quarters. Well, that's an all-time great game right there.
Yeah.
Okay? He goes 0-for-2 in the fourth quarter and did make the three free throws.
Right.
Okay? That's all you got? It was because of Rui.
Yeah.
You got him. And Michael Malone on the fly could not fix it.
Right.
Because it was happening too fast.
But the one thing I will say about him, Skip, if you watch, because I'm a Jokic fan.
I got it. You got some mixed emotions.
Skip, if you watch him, Skip, he'll give up a shot for himself to get his teammates a layup or something coming.
There was one time when I thought he could dunk it, and all of a sudden he kicks it out. I'm like, what are they doing?
But
what?
He is like, I can get whatever I want anytime I want.
Yeah.
Let me get you into a rhythm.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back to me.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievable man.
So I'm Skip.
You know what I'm glad? I'm glad that the Nuggets have made it this far and people get a chance to see. Because not a lot of people, Skip, outside of the Denver area, and unless you do what we do for a living, know what this kid is about. You got an opportunity to see. And he's just been doing this all year. So I don't want you guys to think, that was a one. No.
No, I got it. So Michael Malone sounded extremely relieved after the game when he said, I'd much rather clean up things after a win in the Western Conference Finals than a loss. So we'll take it, but much work to do.
Yes, he knows.
Yeah,
he knows. I mean, Nuggets scored 72 in the first half. Lakers scored 72 in the second half.
You know Darvin Ham's not afraid to make adjustments in these series. So Thursday's going to be very interesting to look at the basketball knowledge and the strategy unfolding on the court. All right, let's take a little bit deeper dive into this game, guys, because there's a lot here. Do you think the end of the game showed a silver lining for Shannon's Lakers? And then a very serious topic, guys, Ja Morant, for the first time since his latest incident, is speaking out. Don't forget, you can check us out every day on the Fox Sports Channel on SiriusXM.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
All right, moving on. Let's go back to that Lakers-Nuggets game from last night. Denver taking game one of the Western Conference Finals. It was a 132-126 win over the Lakers. Now, the Nuggets led by as many as 21 points in the second half. That's before the Lakers were able to pull within three with just over a minute remaining. After the game, Darvin Ham talked to reporters about moving forward from the loss. Take a listen.
Were you optimistic, though, with enough of what you saw in the second half when it comes to, you know, limiting them a little bit more defensively, the things you guys found offensively? Did you see enough to still leave this game and feel relatively good despite the loss?
Yeah, we woke up, and I thought we started digging in and playing a little bit with a little more urgency. But there's no doubt in my mind, you know, when we come out for game two, we'll be ready. We'll go back and do what we need to do for our team physically, you know, start the recovery process now, break down the film, watch what we need to watch. But thank God it's the best of seven. It's not the NCAA tournament. You know, it's the first of four. We'll be okay. Trust me.
I don't know, maybe tweak that starting lineup some.
Yeah.
Shannon, were you more encouraged or discouraged from what you saw from your Lakers last night?
I was encouraged because I don't believe the Nuggets, Skip, can play three more games with the way like they played the first three quarters. So I'm encouraged by what I saw. Anthony Davis should still be able to get what he wants. LeBron can get what he wants. You look at the first half, the Nuggets outscored him in the paint, beat them on second chance points while out-rebounding them 36-13. But if you look at the second half, the Lakers out-rebounded them 17-11, outscored them points in the paint, beat them with second chance points. So there were things that happened in the second half, whatever the case may be, whatever alignment, whatever adjustments that Darvin Ham made at half, it seemed to work, especially in the fourth quarter. So obviously, Mike Malone looks at that, and maybe he has a counter to that. Mm-hmm. But I'm coming out with Rui. But the one thing I'm going to tell the guys, I need guys other than AD to get on the glass. Because Yo's look skilled, he's going to get you somewhere between 15 and 20 rebounds a night.
Just standing there.
Yeah.
He stands flat-footed and gets them.
Well, he going to get three because he going to tip it, that's one. Miss it, tip it again, that's
like
two.
He's got octopus arms, right?
Yeah.
They're just everywhere.
Yeah.
He's got like seven arms, and they're just tipping the ball. Right.
So, Skip, I like what I saw over the last quarter when they did put Rui on him. AD was able to roam, block a couple of shots because he brought Rui turned him right into, and he let the ball go, and AD blocked it. But like you said, you're going to give up something.
Yep.
You just hope that the guys, is KCP going to go, what did he go last night from the three? He's 3-8, but he hit some big ones. Michael Porter Jr. hit, Yoke was 3-3. Jamal Murray was 4-8. You just got to, if you're going to help, if you're going to come, just make sure you're leaving a guy that you don't feel comfortable consistently knocking down the three.
Yep.
That would be Aaron Gordon. Jeff Green hit one last night, but I'm going to help off Jeff Green because I don't believe he can consistently knock down that shot. So I'm encouraged by what I saw. I believe they'll be better than what they were through the first three quarters of the Lakers because they seemed like they were just dragging their feet. It was just like, come on, guys, come on.
All right. I'm going to turn Jen's question upside down and ask of me, because I picked the Nuggets to win this in seven games, was I encouraged or discouraged? I was discouraged by what I saw in the end of the game because, seriously, it felt like after the game, the Lakers had won the game. That's how it felt. They lost. I got it. It's 1-0, and you can't take that away. But listen, if the Lakers come back out for the first quarter of game two, the way they played the fourth quarter of game one, they are going to win game two handily. They're going to win it convincingly because they started to look like the better team. They had Denver so on its heels, mile-high heels, that finally it just took one ill-advised shot by LeBron, or I believe that they win the game. It was almost a shame that the Lakers didn't win the game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what did I see in the fourth quarter? Well, here's what I saw. You turned the tables on them. You out-rebounded them in the fourth quarter 10-7. You outscored them in the fourth quarter 34-26, and it felt like a beatdown in the fourth quarter because you go on a 14-3 run to get LeBron to that point where he took the ill-advised three.
Okay.
So I look at Joker. Look at those numbers through three quarters. He's 31-19-12. Mm-hmm. In the fourth quarter, he goes 0-2 from the floor. And he does wind up with 3 points because he did get to the free throw line. He made 3 out of 4. And they ended up down the stretch being pretty big free throws. My point is this. You found the antidote to a player who looked completely unstoppable in ways that we have rarely seen a playoff player look.
Right.
Where he just looked like you're going to have no answers.
Right.
You have arguably the best defensive big man in basketball in Anthony Davis.
Right.
And he had... No hope.
None.
No chance. And yet, you took a kid that you picked up just before the trade deadline, mm-hmm. Hachimura, who's a nice player, but nobody ever accused him of being a great NBA player out of Gonzaga. And all of a sudden at 6'8", 230, although I think it's more like 240, he started bodying up Joker. And I loved his quote after the game. He explained, this is from Dave McMenamin, ESPN.com, but he said Hachimura tried to plant his weight on Joker's knees to limit the big man's movement, yeah. meaning he's trying to lean in kind of knees to knees where, yeah. where you pin his knees. Yeah. And you lean in, and the fulcrum of the weight is hitting onto Joker's knees where he can't move around you.
Right.
You're pinning him, sort of. You're in space. You're just saying, you can't get right. around me because I am stout, and I got a base underneath me. You always talk about how somebody's light in the back pocket. He's heavy in the back pocket,
oh yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it was a beautiful move, but now I'm going to throw this at you. Now it's up. The ball just went in Michael Malone's court. What you got? What's your answer? What is your touche? Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's Aaron Bleepin' Gordon, a 35% three-point shooter during the regular season and a 35% during the postseason. Okay, what did he do in the fourth quarter last night? Well, you can see what happened. Aaron Gordon didn't take a three. He took one shot and made it. It was just a little putback shot. But he was a minus 13, by far the worst yeah. plus-minus on the floor. Wound up with 4 points because he made 2 out of 6 free throws. Shannon Sharp, what do you think they're going to tell Aaron Gordon? If AD is going to roam the lane, if he's going to lurk and swoop underneath the bucket and basically double cover Joker, what do you tell Aaron Gordon to do? Don't you tell him to go camp at the three-point line? You're going to get, they're going to be like free throw three-point mm-hmm. shots. You're going to be there, and we can kick it to you. You're going to have to make 2 or 3 threes that will force them, because if you can force AD to go to the three-point line,
right.
then you're good.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe that Hachimura can stop Joker one-on-one game.
No, none of them. Okay. Well, you saw AD couldn't stop him one-on-one the whole game.
All right, so there you go. So that's the fix to me. That's like the turnaround fix. But I got to tell you, it just felt like the Lakers figured them out. And once Austin Reeves went Jamal Murray on Jamal Murray and the Nuggets, because he was blazing hot, right?
Yep.
And he took the 1-3 that cut it to 3. It was a 30-foot three. He just stepped right into it. And I told you, this is a kid who shot 29% from 3 at Oklahoma for a couple of years. I don't know what's gotten into it.
His confidence is off the charts now.
Hey, and didn't he play? I forgot to look the final box. Didn't he play
42 minutes? He played the most minutes.
He played the most minutes on the Lakers last night. The Los Angeles Lakers and Austin Reeves, the undrafted free agent, plays the most minutes.
Yep.
You know why? Because the head coach trusts him to make the right plays mm-hmm. and to play hard on defense and to bother people, at least on defense.
Skip, when you look at it, think about it, Skip. The Lakers only had seven turnovers.
No, it was good.
I mean, you are 55% and 46% and 89% with 7 turnovers. But you got crushed on the offensive glass. You got crushed on the total glass.
All right.
That was the difference.
All right. So you now have a 38-year-old LeBron James, year 20, and this scheduling of this series does not get any easier because it goes
every other day
or night, however you want to look at it. It's going to go Thursday, Saturday,
Monday,
Wednesday, Friday, and then if necessary. Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay? Not one of these, like in the finals, you always have that 3 or 4 day break.
And then you get a break to travel.
Yeah, okay. There's no,
because you're
going to have to travel and play and travel and play and travel and play. Okay, so game 2 is huge for now it feels huge for Denver because it seems like they're on the ropes right now, because if the Lakers come out and just stomp their foot down and say, we got you,
right.
we got this, because in the fourth quarter, Joker looked a little hapless to me. He looked a little lost, like, I don't know how to do this, right? After he looked as dominant and as undominant as I've ever seen the same player in the same game.
I think he took his foot off the gas in the fourth quarter. I think it wasn't so much that they stopped him, but they scored 26 points.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray had 3.
I mean, they didn't play poorly in the fourth quarter, but down the stretch, they just got cold.
Yeah. And you were showing the video, Skip, is that when one of the misses, Michael Porter Jr. got the rebound, they end up getting the bucket out of that. So if you grab the rebound, now we might be having a totally different discussion today also. You got to get the rebounds. Hopefully they don't let them out-rebound them 36-13 at the half.
Yeah. So you're feeling pretty good about yourself.
I do.
Darvin Ham looked like he was feeling real good about himself.
Man, Skip, hello. You got out-rebounded in the first quarter 22-6.
Yeah. Okay. And why was that? Look, here's what happened. The truth is, Anthony Davis no-showed in the first quarter. That's what happened. The truth is, he no-showed. He drifted on the defensive boards.
Right? Yes, yes.
Okay, because you got to be – do you have the first quarter up?
Yeah.
What did he have, Anthony Davis?
Rebounds?
Yeah.
One.
Okay, he had one rebound. How many did Joker have?
Joker had six.
In the first quarter, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and it was, as Michael Malone pointed out, at one point it was 22-3 Denver in rebounds.
No, well, let's take it back. Joker had 12 rebounds.
That's what I thought, yeah.
He had six offensive rebounds, six defensive rebounds.
Okay.
Well, he had more offensive rebounds than the Lakers had rebounds.
My point is, it was 12-1 in rebounds because AD, he didn't no-show on offense because he winds up scoring 40 points. But he no-showed on the defensive boards, right? You just can't, can't let him do that to you.
No.
Right?
He was... I mean, now they got. I mean, and Jokic, they're like, okay, where does he belong in the pantheon of all-time greats now?
Until the fourth quarter, and then you're saying, I don't know, where does he belong? Right.
Well, I think he's the best player in the NBA right now.
Okay, but he did not look like it in the fourth quarter because you rendered him ineffective.
Yes, but Skip, I mean, the guy only took two shots.
Okay, but that's the point. And they have had issues, Shannon, over time. They've had big issues with him not being aggressive enough, right?
Yeah.
Like Malone said last night after the game, an aggressive Joker is a dominant Joker.
Right.
Well, they always keep trying to push his buttons because he's got some AD going on in him where some nights he comes out and he does not push the pace.
I think the thing is he has LeBron in him where he's not looking to score.
There's some of that. Yeah, I agree.
He's more of a passer. I'll give up my shot. I'll give up this to get you going.
Okay. And then what has to happen to start game two is the Lakers have to get back on defense. I know it kind of burns your lungs at the very first because you can't quite get as much oxygen intake as you usually do.
Right.
But you got to just get back because they're about to run you out of the gym.
Well, Skip, I mean, they wouldn't get back on a made basket. I mean, they make the basket and the Denver Nuggets got the ball out of the rim and already up the court.
Can't do it because... If you open this game this way, you might find yourself in such a deep hole that you can't climb out.
And then
of
you
it.
Spend so much energy trying to get back into the ball game. We'll definitely see a better showing in the first quarter and the first half.
Better.
Fox Bet Sportsbook has the Nuggets winning by six, guys. We'll see how much that changes leading into tomorrow night again.
Give me the six right now.
We'll find out.
Remember,
all right.
So you wanted 6.5 yesterday.
Yeah.
You would have got me by half, right?
I will get you the bar, too.
Okay.
You give me it.
No.
I would love to see some dew flow on this. All right, Shannon, buckle up. Skip's been waiting for this next topic all morning, I have a feeling. Victor Wembanyama, how's he going to fit in with the Spurs? That's next on Undisputed.
Baseball is back, and so is Flippin' Bats.
5 times a week, Monday through Friday.
So follow us on the Fox Sports app, YouTube, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
Congratulations to the San Antonio Spurs. They won last night's NBA draft lottery. That means they have the first overall selection, giving them the right to select... Who else? Foregone conclusion. Victor Wembanyama in the upcoming draft. Shannon, you think this is going to be a good fit?
Well, Skip, look, if it's not a good fit, when you build a house, you find the pieces that fit in the house. So we got this kid. If the pieces we have right now, Skip, don't fit, we go get some pieces that do fit. You look at the 24, they got their first round pick. They get the Hornets first round pick that's lottery protected. And they got the Raptors first round pick next year that's top six protected. Now, I'm looking at them the same way I look at OKC.
Yep.
Y'all got all these first round picks. I'll trade some of them and try to get me a proven player to go with them because, Skip, they're really young. Young teams don't win championships. You look at the Boston Celtics, it's taking them a time. It took Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown years to be in this position where they can consistently compete. It's going to take years unless you get you a veteran presence. Now, it's not like San Antonio. I understand, Skip, to say that what? They just finished building a $500 million practice facility. That's not going to attract top-notch free agents.
No, agreed.
So you're going to have to either trade, give up some of this draft capital, and get someone maybe with a year or two left on their contract.
Yeah.
And then try to coax them to stay. But if this kid is as good as they say he is, now, when they got David Robinson, Skip, they improved 35 games. They got Tim Duncan, 13 years later, they improved 36 games.
Only because they got him because David Robinson was hurt, and so was everybody else on the team.
Yeah, but yeah.
That's how they got the first pick.
But I'm saying, you have to look at what the Admiral was, Skip. Yeah. Admiral spent 4 years at the Naval Academy. Tim Duncan spent four years at Wake Forest.
4 long years.
Them guys ain't waiting no four years. They waiting to get at that money because the sooner you get to the NBA, the sooner you can get you a max contract.
Agreed.
Like I said, Skip, all I've seen is highlights of the kid, and the kid he's extremely thin, but he can handle the ball, he can shoot the three, he can get to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
All those things should serve him well because the court is so much more spaced out and opened up. I don't know what he's going to be. Let's just say he's a combination. He's in between Tim Duncan and David Robinson. Well, you got you a franchise piece. Now, look here. Is he going to be better than Tim Duncan? That's a big old ladder. That's 5 championship MVPs, final MVPs, all defense. That's a lot going on.
There was a lot going on with me last night. I cannot express to you how happy I was for those now long-suffering fans in San Antonio.
Man, y'all had it good for so damn, Skip. How long you wanted to have it good?
It's been a long time. It's been 4 years since they even made the playoffs, and that might go to 5 or 6, to your point.
Yes.
Okay. Briefly, my long and rich history with the San Antonio Spurs. It started for me back in the late 70s, early 80s. With George the Iceman Gervin finger rolling his way to 3 scoring titles in 4 years. Mm-hmm. He just took my breath away and took my heart. And then along came Tim Duncan. I didn't see him coming at Wake because I didn't know if his motor ran hot enough, but it runs at its own pace.
Yeah.
And he obviously became, to me, a top 5 player all time.
He's the greatest power forward. Ain't no question about that.
And if not for Ray Allen, he'd have a 6th championship,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then came, thanks to R.C. Buford, Tony Parker as the last pick in the first round out of France. Mm-hmm. And then came Manu Ginobili as the second to last pick in the second round out of Argentina. And all of a sudden, you got something going.
Right.
And then R.C. turns right around and flat out steals Kawhi Leonard from the Indiana Pacers for George Hill. They even threw in Davis Bertans, if you can believe that. We got Kawhi with the 15th overall pick and Davis Bertans, who's an incredible NBA 6'9" 3-point shooter. He's still in the league.
Yes. Yeah.
And we got both of them for George Hill, who I told you from the start, I never was the biggest George Hill fan. And then LeBron tried to trust him with those free throws. And you know the rest of the story. Okay. It got so crazy great for me. I became such a Spurs fan that I think for a while I was the mayor of San Antonio. And we started taking our show on the road to the 2013 finals and 2014 finals, and we would be down on the river walking. It'd be like 105 degrees in the shade, and we'd be dripping wet out there. And it was the greatest moments of my career because they were so great to watch. And you thought they were broccoli because most people thought they were broccoli. Tim Duncan was the most boring superstar in the history of superstars. But you know what? People I knew inside the Spurs believed he was the greatest leader ever. Then what started happening? The Kawhi thing went completely sideways because he and Pop began to clash. And it was predictable because Pop is as old school as you can get. He's ex-military, and he coaches hard, and he is egomaniacal, just the way Belichick is egomaniacal. And how did he get away with it for all those years? Because he had a Brady named Tim Duncan.
Yes.
In the locker room saying, it's just the way he is. Just we'll be okay. Just suck it up. Just bite your lip. Don't fight back.
Yeah.
Kawhi finally fought back and said, I'm not going to take this anymore. And, you know, it went completely sour south.
Right.
And it got so bad, I had people from Kawhi's inner circle calling me, telling me stories about what Pop was doing to Kawhi. And I was so tired of Kawhi because it looked like he quit on the team. Mm-hmm. But he actually exposed Pop for what he was.
Right.
For the new school players, the younger generation just said, we're not going to do this.
You can't coach him like this.
You know and I know.
You can't.
And I don't think you could have coached Shannon Sharpe like this in his generation. Because
and that's what the thing
is. It's verbally abusive.
Right. And Pop being the coach that he is, you must understand that you can't coach Kawhi like you coach Tim and Tony and Manu. Skip, by his personality, just the way if you observe Kawhi, you already know you can't talk to him any kind of way.
You do.
You already see it. You're going to lose him.
Okay, so we got to Zaza Pachipshot, and he put his foot underneath Kawhi.
He did.
And remember, they had a 23-point lead in the third quarter, a game one at Oracle in the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
And he steps on the big old
20.
Crater, like the ankle goes completely over.
Because he'd already nursed a sore ankle because he hurt against Houston.
And that was the end of that. And then next year he played all of 9 games and quit his way all the way to Toronto and won a championship.
Right.
Here's my point about Pop. And I was just ahead of the curve last week on my podcast. I went deep into this. I have fallen out of love with Greg Popovich because nobody with any class, real class and human dignity, would treat media members the way he consistently has.
But he get away
because
with it.
He got away with it.
Coach Belichick does the same thing.
Thank you. Thank you. He is Coach Belichick. It's all. And yet he kept saying, when Tim Duncan walks out that door, I'll be right behind him. Tim Duncan walked out that door 7 years ago. And guess who's still coaching? Okay, so now to my bigger point. I was bittersweet last night in my emotions because I don't want to see Pop coach Wembanyama because he seems like such a great kid, but he's a new school kid.
Right.
And he's not going to, his mother has coached him, and he's not going to be able to take this. Pop's 75, and I don't care about the age. I just care about old school.
Yeah, you got to change.
And he had bullied the media for so long and gotten away with it. In fact, I saw Doc, there was a quote recently where Doc got upset with the line of questioning. He said, would you ask Pop that question? And I'm thinking, Doc, no, nobody would ask Pop that question because they'd be afraid for their lives.
Exactly.
Because he would cut them to pieces, right?
Exactly.
Because he was so condescending and such a big bully pulpit standing up there. Okay, so the point is, last night it hit me. The truth is, and this is not going to happen because he's so beloved in San Antonio, it's time to go with a new coach. You know what? To go with a young coach? Yes, it is.
Wow.
This is a new era with a kid who I think could be a big star.
Right.
I think he can because I was watching his highlights last night of he's playing in the French Pro League. Shannon, he's unguardable because he is so agile and has such supreme skill. He's 7 feet five and he's skinny, but he plays with some strength and I'm sure that can change.
Yeah.
But isn't it time to go young at coach? To have them start together to start a whole new Spurs generation.
Well, I don't see that happening, Skip. He go into a place that is no nonsense, that is all basketball. I think Manu's still there, so Manu will be in his ear. But I just think the thing
I hope Tim is in his ear because Tim's around. He lives in San Antonio.
Yeah, I just think the thing is, Skip, the way coaches have to understand now, no matter how great the players are, a lot of these guys play video games. That's their thing. And COD and whatever else you be, whatever it is, Skip.
I got it.
You just have to accept that and say, okay, play your video game.
Okay.
But as long as you come ready to play
it. See Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Right?
And you see what did Devin Booker say? Man, I got to go get on that COD. I'm sorry, guys, but that's what these guys do now. Okay. But I ain't got no problem with it. But as long as, football, your assignment. Basketball, what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And you go out there and play.
Yeah.
Hey, what you do in your spare time?
I got it. Okay. So in the end, I believe the basketball gods gave this kid to San Antonio because R.C. Buford was the trailblazer in signing international players. He was going back to Boris Diaw from France and Tiago Splitter that you always read.
What do you call them? Sign the international player. What did you say they were? The innovators?
Yeah, the trailblazers.
There's also the trailblazers on low management. They trailblazed that too.
No.
So give them credit for that.
No, that's true. But the point is, they've had such a long parade of very good out of nowhere foreign players where I'd say, I don't even know who that guy is. And look what he can do.
Right.
Okay? So the basketball gods said, we reward you with Victor.
Right.
You got Wimby.
Right.
Congratulations. Now, I just like to see somebody else coach him.
You get top 50 player in David Robinson, two top 75 players in Robinson and Duncan.
Yep.
And you coach them hard. Skip, who else going to come in there and say, oh, you can't coach me like this? He's like, did you see the Admiral MVP? Did you see Duncan?
Yeah.
That's the way I coached them. And yep. They got us championship. So,
well, see Kawhi Leonard.
And Coach Belichick.
Yep.
Coach Belichick said, did y'all see how I coached Tom?
Mm-hmm.
And Gronk? And this one and that one?
How's it working out with Mac Jones?
Mm-mm.
Not.
Hey, Tom just like, at that point in time, I don't think, knowing Tom the way you know him now, Skip,
yep.
I don't think he could deal with it now.
You're probably right. Well, after he got a taste of Tampa.
Yeah, he's like.
Okay.
You grow up, you get brought up into that.
Yeah.
That's all you know.
All right. So I dare the hardest core Spurs fan, go back and look at the Spurs record after Tim Duncan walked out that door. See what happened. Pop got exposed. He's just
they were good. Skip, yeah. I still believe they would have been a contending team had Kawhi been able to stay there. Yeah. Because Kawhi and LaMarcus Aldridge, that was a nice little combo.
And then they got DeMar DeRozan and it started to teeter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they got DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi.
They did.
Mm. Spurs fans had a party on social media last night. It certainly was fun to watch all the reactions.
Hey, Lulu, send me one of them cinnamon rolls. Mm. They got them 5-pound cinnamon rolls, Skip. You want one?
No, I do not.
You should.
Ernestine, no. Eat it. No. Ernestine, I'm getting us a 5-pound cinnamon roll.
I don't think she
Shannon,
would,
I bet you wouldn't eat
like
it either.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.